This is the Schnitt Show.
Tell you what, the carjacking issues across the country, especially with what's going on in Washington, D.C., is nuts. And if you've not heard the audio of the carjacking of that Uber Eats driver, oh my God. I'll get to that coming up here in just a bit. A couple of other things. Mitch McConnell, the Senate minority leader, McConnell made an appeal earlier today to male conservatives because there is an issue with a lot of male conservatives not wanting to take the vaccine. I personally know some of them. And I've personally pleaded with some of these friends or people that I know that are shunning the vaccine. I just hope they don't get COVID. Hope they don't get a nasty case of COVID. But here we have Mitch McConnell, the Senate Minority Leader, said today that there's no good argument not to get vaccinated. Well, true. But there is still a pushback for many. Yeah, there was an event in Kentucky. It was at the Appalachian Regional Healthcare Hazard Clinic. And it was all about promoting vaccines. And McConnell was there. He was asked about some Republican men being hesitant to take the vaccine. In fact, there was polling a couple of weeks back that showed almost half of Republican men showing reluctance in getting the vaccine. And then McConnell said today at this event, as a Republican man, as soon as it was my turn, I took the vaccine. And McConnell says, I would encourage all Republican men to do just that. Hey, listen, I sit here before this microphone. I am a Republican male, 55 years of age, and I went with my wife a week ago to get the first dose of the Pfizer vaccine. No issues. Just the localized soreness like you'd get with any flu shot or tetanus shot or whatever. And then my wife and I go back in about 2 weeks, and we will get the second dose of the Pfizer vaccine. Yeah, McConnell went on to say there are some other segments that have some reservations, but with regard to Republican men, take the vaccine. Two of them are 90% effective. One of them is 70% effective. There's no good argument not to get the vaccination. I would encourage all men, regardless of party affiliation, to get vaccinated. Well, yes, I would agree with that. Now, I was going to play the audio, but the video stream and recording from this event at the hospital in Kentucky, it wasn't reliable. So, but I just gave you the gist. I gave you the quotes from Mitch McConnell. Hey, this is interesting to me because you know how I feel about Hillary Clinton and the fact that Hillary should have been investigated. I don't know why there wasn't a special counsel. With Trump in the White House and the Republicans in control of the House and the Senate for the first couple of years, where the hell was the Hillary Clinton investigation? On her emails, on her server. The fact that classified information was taken off of a secure Department of State computer network and then forwarded over the regular internet to Hillary Clinton's email? Hillary hack me at Clinton.com or whatever the hell it was. Being facetious, obviously, with the name of the email address. But the update here is that the Supreme Court today has declined Judicial Watch's request, a final attempt to depose Hillary Clinton about her emails. Now, how this was able to just fly under the radar, well, it's not exactly under the radar, because this was, you know, talked about considerably. Everyone knows about the emails and the bleach bit and, you know, smashing of hard drives and phones, destroying evidence. How the hell did Hillary get away with this? But what happened today is the Supreme Court declined Judicial Watch, of course, a conservative legal watchdog group. They wanted to revisit the whole Hillary Clinton matter and whether Hillary should be required to answer questions about her private email server and missing emails while she was the Secretary of State in the Obama administration. It was an unsigned order. It was issued without comment. And what happened today is the justices of the Supreme Court, they declined to take up what Judicial Watch wanted, and that was a petition. And this came from their lawsuit over the response from the federal government to their Freedom of Information Act request, a FOIA request. And Judicial Watch, they wanted to depose Hillary Clinton and one of her top aides. They wanted to depose Cheryl Mills. And this was all over the emails, over the electronic communications. And that had to do with the 2012 attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, in Libya. And when's the last time you heard Benghazi? Of course, the email situation goes far deeper than just Benghazi. Yeah, and in the emphasizing of the State Department's total botching and mishandling of the case, a U.S. District Court judge, remember, in March of 2020, initially took the step of ordering discovery in the lawsuit. This was a Ronald Reagan-appointed U.S. District Court judge, and I concur. I think it was a good decision. So he ordered discovery in the lawsuit brought by Judicial Watch. And inside the initial ruling from the U.S. District Court judge, it also specified that Hillary Clinton had to submit to a deposition. Yeah. Then we had a three-judge panel, and that, of course, of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia. They then overturned that district court judge's ruling. That happened back in August. And that would prevent the ordered deposition. Yeah, and listen, I can go into a little more detail on the appellate court, but you know that brings us up now to the Supreme Court and the fact that this was the final attempt to depose Hillary Clinton regarding the emails, and it looks like this is out the window. Man, did she not skate on that? Did she not get lucky? Oh, there are so many avenues to charge her and Huma Abedin and others. Oh, there's no doubt about it. But the U.S. Supreme Court, in the aftermath of the appellate court, Supreme Court says, no, we're not going to hear this. It's a done deal. I can't believe how she just escaped this. Yeah, and then also in the appellate court, one of the judges had written that they thought that Judicial Watch would then use the deposition, forcing Hillary Clinton to sit for a deposition, that Judicial Watch would try to corner her and push her into other issues, not regarding the emails. Especially in light of Judicial Watch's present access to extensive information responsive to its proposed deposition topics, the deposition of Secretary Clinton, if allowed to proceed at best seems likely to stray into topics utterly unconnected with the instant FOIA suit, and at worst could be used as a vehicle for harassment and embarrassment. Well, listen, Judicial Watch does a pretty good job. I don't agree with everything. There have been some things where I've called them on the carpet, but for the most part, I tend to agree with the bulk. Not everything, but the bulk of what they do. And it was back in October that Judicial Watch requested that the full panel of judges of the circuit court, not just the three appellate judges there, that the full panel rehear the case. That was turned down. And none of the judges, none of the 10 judges on the full panel, including some that were Donald Trump appointees, were in on the matter. And then this was the last hurrah to try to get the Supreme Court to take a look at the case and step in and usurp the lower courts. And this just didn't happen. So it looks like this is over. It looks like it's done. And essentially Hillary Clinton got away with, I believe, a massive crime with her server, her email, all of the attempts to destroy evidence. I mean, so many avenues. I just don't know why that the Trump administration and Republicans in the House and the Senate are early in 2017. I don't know why they didn't pursue this. To me, that's just absolutely baffling. And speaking of Trump, is Trump going to get sued? Yeah, hold on to that thought. Is Trump out of the woods, or could Trump see a big fat lawsuit? On what? Well, you come to the right place. I'll tell you next on Schnitt. Hang on, folks.
This is the Schnitt Show. The Schnitt List is on.
SchnittShow.com.
Yeah, last week we told you about Dominion voting systems and their multi-billion dollars in lawsuits, the latest being the Fox News Channel, and Fox being sued for well over $1 billion. We have, of course, that kook couch, that Sidney Powell being sued. And between Dominion, between Smartmatic, we've got a variety of lawsuits that have been filed. And Dominion is not ruling out filing a lawsuit against former President Trump. Yeah. And former President Trump might be the recipient of a lawsuit by Dominion Voting Systems because of the election fraud claims, which, listen, were spread. Whether you like Trump or not, you could be a big, you know, humongous Trump trainer, MAGA hat, the whole nine yards, going to rallies, maybe even busted into the Capitol. But I don't know how you can't deny that the president was, calling and still calls his loss election fraud. Yeah. Stephen Shackelford is a lawyer, and he is with the law firm that represents Dominion Voting Systems. And he is not ruling out the possibility of a lawsuit. And he was on with Brian Stelter. I'm not a fan, and I didn't watch the show, but I've read the transcript here. And the lawyer for Dominion says that we have not ruled out any potential defendants who participated in this defamation campaign. And there is an increasing list of these lawsuits citing defamation after the November election. And the claims that have been made about the technology and the software. And folks, the claims that have been made are baseless. They really are. I'm not picking sides. I'm just picking facts. Does that Does that make sense? Well, that's a T-shirt right there. I'm not picking sides. I'm picking facts. Well, T-shirt, it'll be on Etsy within 2 hours. And, you know, the Dominion has maintained that just irreparable damage has been caused to their reputation, to their name. You know, let's look at, you know, where we are as far as lawsuits go. We have a $1.3 billion lawsuit, which was filed against Rudy Giuliani. We've got another $1.3 billion lawsuit filed against that kook couch, that Sidney Powell. You've got a $1 billion lawsuit filed against Mike Lindell from MyPillow, who has, I don't know what the hell Giuliani and Mike Lindell and Sidney Powell, I mean, I don't know what the hell they're drinking. And the icing on the cake was last week in Sidney Powell's lawyers responding to Dominion and the lawsuit saying that no reasonable person would believe what Sidney Powell was spouting. Folks, I can't tell you the number of callers we had on the show that I got into fights with. So Sidney Powell's got nothing. She's in fantasy land. She's pulling crap out of her butt. She's making stuff up, making arguments in court and with these lawsuits about all this fraud. And now, where the rubber meets the road, you've got Sidney Powell's lawyer saying, no, all the stuff she said, only a schmuck, only an absolute imbetard, an imbecile would believe what she said. It's so out there, it's so ridiculous, it's so moronic. Hey, folks, how many still believe what Sidney Powell said? All right, more on Donald Trump possibly getting sued next.
The Schnitt Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take pride in presenting Schnitt.
All right, in the Dominion lawsuit arena, and the fact that they are not ruling out a potential lawsuit against Trump. Again, you look what they filed. $1.3 billion against Rudy Giuliani. $1.3 billion against Sidney Powell. $1 billion against Mike Lindell, the MyPillow dude. And speaking of that, I've got some audio you got to hear. Mike Lindell was on Steve Bannon's podcast. And when I listen to this stuff, I'm like, wait a minute. Are we getting played? Is this like candid camera? Where's the hidden camera? Are we on some kind of a joke show here? What's going on here? You've got to hear the latest audio from Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy. Oh, Trump's coming back. Oh, soon. Trump is going to be back in the White House. Joe Biden's going to be falling down the White House stairs very, very shortly. Yeah, so Dominion, of course, they filed the $1.6 billion lawsuit against Fox News. That happened on Friday. Fox hit back with, we will fight this vigorously in court. Of course they will. I'm guessing they're going to end up settling. That would be my guess as I sit here just a couple of days after the lawsuit was filed, and I'm a legal layperson, but I've seen a lot of lawyer commercials on TV. I'm guessing that Fox is going to end up settling. In the several hundred million dollar range is what I'm guessing. And then, on to Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy. Now, Mike Lindell has detailed on many occasions his low points in his life. Mike Lindell had a crack problem. I believe he was smoking crack out of a pipe. He had hit rock bottom. And Mike Lindell, you got to give him credit, he turned his life around. had this MyPillow concept, and he turned it into a multi-hundred million dollar operation. MyPillow. The question is he putting his entire empire in jeopardy? You know, certainly has lost a good deal of sales. You know, has that been offset by Trump fans buying his product? I know there's been a movement. I know there's been a plea that, hey, Mike Lindell has lost a lot of big retailers, you know, like Bed Bath & Beyond and I think Macy's and other places. And I know there's been a plea, come on, help Mike Lindell out and buy the pillow. I just don't know if the Trump fan base, who's been urged to help buy my pillows to support Mike Lindell, I don't know if it's been successful in defeating the loss of sales from the other avenues. I don't know. But I've got new Mike Lindell audio here that is just unbelievable. If I was just told about this, I'm like, nah, come on, I need to hear the audio. Well, I got the audio. So Mike Lindell is on with Steve Bannon. And as you know, I'm not a Steve Bannon fan at all. He told Steve Bannon that Trump's going to be back in August. Yep. Trump is going to be back in office. Trump is going to be back in the White House as the president of the United States in August. And he's going to file a lawsuit that's going to confirm evidence of voter fraud during the 2020 election. I mean, at this point, is Mike Lindell just mad? I mean, mad like in mentally ill? Is Mike Lindell just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs? I'm just asking. It's my opinion that he is. I can't explain what he's doing. And then you hear this audio from the Steve Bannon War Room podcast. Well, here it is. Listen, this is Mike Lindell, my pillow man.
What I'm talking about, Steve, is what I have been doing since January 9th. All the evidence I have, everything is going to go before the Supreme Court, and the election of 2020 is going bye-bye. It was an attack by other country, communism coming in. I don't know what they're going to do with it after they pull it down, but it's Donald Trump will be back in office in August.
Donald Trump will be back in office in August. I mean, folks, this is just, that's crazy town. That's crazy pillow talk right there. that's what that is. And then Bannon, I think, tries to get in and ask him a question.
Pull it down, but it's Donald Trump will be back in office in August.
Donald Trump will be back in office in August, according to Mike Lindell. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now that Trump is not going to be back in office. Mike Lindell is going to have no success with his lawsuits. He's got no proof of voter fraud of any significance whatsoever. I don't understand what the end game is. Didn't he thank Dominion for the billion-dollar lawsuit? I think he thanked them. Wow, yeah, you know who's been quiet? Rudy Giuliani. He has been very, very quiet. As Elmer Fudd would say, be very, very quiet. I'm hunting rabbits. Bah. Yeah, Giuliani has been like non-existent. Then we get to this epidemic of carjackings. My God, there is a graphic video that shows the moment that the Uber Eats driver was carjacked by teenage girls. Two teenage girls. Stun gunned, then carjacked an Uber Eats driver. A 66-year-old man by the name of Mohammed Anwar, a father of three. This guy emigrated from Pakistan. He died when he was hurled from the vehicle onto a sidewalk after two little teenage bitches aged 13 and 15 stun gunned him, then drove off with him clinging to his car. It was a Honda. He got a minute and 27 second cell phone video. Posted to social media. And it begins with this gentleman with Anwar standing to the side of his parked car, trying to get one of the teens out from behind the wheel, while the other is in the passenger seat. They're thieves, and Anwar can be heard shouting as he leans into this Honda, and he's trying to get the teen out of the passenger seat. This is my car. Seconds later, the driver's door opens, and Anwar is half in and half outside of the vehicle. The car speeds off with him clinging to the vehicle. The car then sideswipes a metal barrier and a light pole, and it causes the driver's door to slam into Anwar's body. Then the car races down the block. Then there's a huge crash, which you can hear on the audio, because witnesses were recording this thing on video. They were recording the Uber Eats, this Muhammad Anwar struggle. Then the footage continues, and it shows both girls jumping from the vehicle. Anwar is face down on a nearby sidewalk. He's struggling to move. And then some of the last words which were uttered by the Uber Eats driver: this guy's just trying to make a living delivering food during a pandemic via Uber Eats. 15 and 13-year-old, there's a pandemic going on regarding these carjackings. It's teenage girls. It's teenage boys. I mean, it's unbelievable. You got to hear this audio, and this is so sad. For this guy's life to end like this? Just disgusting beyond belief. And here's the audio. Just absolutely terrible. You know, this...
This is they're thieves.
What's going on?
All right, do you hear him say, "This is my car"? What kind of little snots, what kind of delinquent, nasty pieces of teenage, vile, human, vermin trash would stun gun a 66-year-old guy and then drive off, slamming him into... Yeah, I wish that this Anwar, I wish that Muhammad had just let go of the car, just let it go. Because he sustained the deadly injuries while he was clinging onto the car, and then his body was smashed into a roadside barrier and a light pole. Now, listen to the audio here.
They're thieves.
What's going on?
Hey, they stole the car. These girls, step back in the seat. That's what happened.
That's the audio. My God, did you hear the car crash or the girl's speed off after smashing this poor Uber Eats driver into this pole and barricade? As he's dying, then they smash the car, which was way down the block. Did you hear the sound of the crash, and it's way down the block.
No, I'm not
it! Oh,
my God!
Somebody just stole
She's stealing their car.
He's
stealing the
car.
Yeah, we called the cops. Call the cops. They stole the car.
Unbelievable. I mean, what is going on? I mean, there is a trend. There is a teenage carjacking trend that's happening in Washington, D.C. On top of those two girls and the murder of the Uber Eats driver, you have four teenage boys. They've been arrested for carjackings. I mean, what is going on? Two 13-year-old boys were arrested. They did two carjackings, armed carjackings, one after another. And that was just days after the teenage girls were charged with murdering the Uber driver. I'm telling you right now, the Metropolitan Police Department in Washington, D.C., and prosecutors, they need to step up to the plate, and they need to send the message quickly and clearly that this will not be tolerated, and we're going to throw the book at you monsters. It's like nonstop, what's going on. All right, final segment. We'll wrap things up. I got a laundry list of things to get to. So we're going to lightning round coming up on the Schnitt Show next. Back in a minute.
This is Schnitt.
Now you can listen to
Schnitt.
I don't know if you heard about this, but there is another woman accusing Andrew Cuomo of kissing her without her consent. Man, it's just getting racked up. It's more and more and more. All these women coming out against Governor Cuomo in New York. The latest is another woman accusing Cuomo, the governor of New York, of more sexual misconduct, alleging that the governor grabbed her face and kissed her without her consent. This is outside her home. And she says, guess what? That she's got photographic evidence. All right, outside of her home, would that be a security camera? Would that be a Ring doorbell? By any chance? Yeah, the woman has not been identified yet publicly, but she was set to hold a press conference this afternoon. I've been so jammed, I haven't had a chance. Sue, can you check and see if the woman has held her presser? Yeah, hold on a minute. I've got, let me go to some of the New York sites and see if, yeah, here we go. Oh man, I'm looking at the photo too. Yeah, this just got posted. Yeah, this was posted, new Andrew Cuomo accuser, Sherryville. All right, so her name is Sherryville. And she described in detail how Cuomo grabbed her face, manhandled her, forcibly kissed her while touring her flood-damaged home back in 2017. And she says that he did so in a highly sexual manner. What? Oh, my God. And, you know, she's standing next to Gloria Allred. So I guess Gloria Allred's in on this action. The whole thing was so strange and inappropriate and still makes me nervous and afraid because of his power and position. Yeah, Sherryville's 55 years old. She's a married mother of three. And she spoke out this afternoon in a briefing alongside Gloria Allred. I am still afraid of him, but I'm no longer willing to remain silent. Wow. That's when the governor looked at me, approached me, took my hand, pulled me to him. He leaned down over me and kissed my cheek. I was holding my small dog in my arms and I thought that he was going to pet my dog, but instead he went to squeeze between the dog and mine and kiss me on the other cheek. in what I felt was a highly sexual manner. And here's another one. Yeah, Cuomo tried to explain his inappropriate conduct as a cultural norm, saying, hey, that's what Italians do. We kiss both cheeks. Is that the cover story here? All right, the hits keep on rolling for Cuomo. All right, folks, have a great night. We'll see you back here tomorrow for the Tuesday show.